Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Show a little bit of class. This is a man that I've spent some time talking to.
Yeah.
You're going to work, work hard all day. At the end of the week, you collect your pay.
Fantastic ballad from the mighty Tower of Power. Off the Dinosaur Track CD, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. It is as simple as that. If you want the inside look into the world of boxing and mixed martial arts, well, Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific Time, two different shows. Then we go to another show Monday. Get this, Monday, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Sirius XM Satellite Radio Network, Channel 93. So we've got it all covered. We're in your car, we're in your home, we're on your tablet. You can download the iHeartRadio app anywhere you go and take Ring Talk like on your smartphone, your tablet. We got it going on, folks. iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite 93, Channel 93, Mondays at 5 o'clock, 5 to 7 p.m., 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Lots of boxing and mixed martial arts to talk about. And hour number two on many of these same sports byline affiliate stations, Art Davey, the man that discovered the UFC, the man that had the balls to put it on UTV. He had to go get insurance. He didn't have a TV contract until an hour before the show. Art Davey's got a great story to tell. Hour number two today, the MMA Hour on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Now we go back to King Khan, Amir Khan. Of course, he twice beaten junior welterweight out of the United Kingdom. Originally, you're of Pakistani descent. Have you ever been to Pakistan?
Yeah, I've been to Pakistan a few times.
And what's it like?
I got so much love from there. Honestly, it's like... It's so crazy. I mean, you know, Pakistan is a third world country, and they don't have many heroes that they look up to, apart from the cricket team. So with boxing, I mean, the last boxer they followed was Muhammad Ali, and they follow me like they're Muhammad Ali, and I swear it's crazy. And I get so much love from there, and people go crazy. So it's really nice to go back there. I go there like once a year, sometimes twice a year. So, yeah, it's nice to go back up. My family's still there.
How the hell do those guys catch that cricket ball without a glove?
It's crazy, huh? It's so hard as well, and they catch it without a glove. I mean, you can just imagine someone throwing a baseball at you at, like, 80 miles per hour and you have to catch it. I mean, you are going to break some fingers and stuff. But for some reason, I don't know how they do it, but they manage it down there.
Okay. Let's talk about Kell Brook. Kell Brook's a good fighter. I mean, he's got some good skills, and I watched him grow up on Box Nation and on the internet. And of course, then he beat the guy for the junior welterweight title, the IBF title, a fortnight ago. But the bottom line is, he's been stabbed three times now, twice in England and once in Spain. What does that say about Kell Brook?
Look, I mean, if you're gonna get stabbed by somebody, then, you know, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And also, maybe you have the wrong group of friends, or you're at the wrong places, really. I mean, or it's you. I mean, if he's been stabbed three times, then maybe he needs to control himself when he's drunk, and he needs to, maybe change his attitude a little bit when he's out with friends or whatever. Because the only reason something like that's going to happen is if he's, causing trouble, or maybe done something stupid, or, people are getting the payback. So, like you see, I live in England as well, and I've never had problems like that in my life. I'm probably more well-known than Kell Brook, and I've never had problems in being stabbed or anything. But he's been stabbed three times, so that just says something about him. Maybe character, I think. Look, it's a shame because, he could have destroyed his whole boxing career. But
not once, not twice, three times.
Three times? Wow, I thought he was only twice. three times, wow. It shows maybe he's getting into a lot of trouble that he shouldn't be. And now he's a professional fighter. Maybe he should just focus more about the boxing and in the ring fighting than maybe doing silly things outside.
Okay, 29-3, 19 KOs. You were called the prodigy. Was there too much pressure put on you coming out of the amateurs? And then did you take it a little bit too easy? Did you think that were things given to you that maybe, did you have an easier road than most guys? That's what I'm trying to say.
I don't know, because, I mean, my first fight I had, I remember, we sold 8,000 tickets for the first fight. Now, 8,000 tickets is, some people can't even do that. on their world title fights. Now, that was the first fight in the UK, and it was being broadcasted on one of the national televisions, you know, on terrestrial TV. And terrestrial TV had never been showing a professional boxing for a long time, but with me, they went back into boxing. So, a lot of pressure was there. A lot of people were, you know, wanting me in a world title fight so quick. I mean, I had all that pressure. And I think it was a little bit harder for me because having all that pressure, you know, wherever you're going, people watching you fight, if you were making a little mistake, people were jumping in front of it. I mean, I got fast-tracked in a way because people wanted to see me, be successful so quick. I mean, I had my first world title fight at the age of... I was 19, and I had only 14 fights. I fought for the Commonwealth title, and then it went on and on, and I fought for my first world title at the age of 20, just turned 22, and I only had 21 fights. Okay. So, really, I think I was fast-tracked more, because people wanted to see me in world title fights, and, you know, wanted to see me in the big fights, and they got that. I mean, I've only had 32 fights now, and it seems like I've been going forever. People forget how old I am. I'm only 27 years old, and when people talk to me and see me, they think I'm like 35. And when I tell them I'm only 27, they're like, "Damn, you've been around for such a long time." Maybe because I was so young in the Olympic Games, and from there went on to professional. You know, so I've always been in the public eye for a long time. So, you know, I think that if I wasn't maybe in the public eye as much, I think I could have focused more on maybe having those easier fights in the beginning and learning fights, because that would have only made me a better fighter. But I didn't do that. I had to fast-track myself to them big fights a lot quicker. You know, like I said, my fight 21 was for world title, which you don't really see many fighters going into, you know, that soon.
The pro debut, 2005, for the 2004 Olympic silver medalist at lightweight, is 132 pounds, right?
In the Olympics? 132, yeah.
You know, I used to fight at 139 in the old junior welterweight division in the Olympics. Won 4 Golden Glove championships here. Virgil remembers. Okay. Virgil's an old guy. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line was I was dying to make those last 2 pounds from 141 down. And then after I retired, Amir, what did they do? They raised the weight limit to 141.
Oh, my God. It went to 140. Well, yeah, 141. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's crazy, huh? Because them 2 pounds might have made a massive difference in your career. And, you know, sometimes it's only like 1 or 2 pounds that could destroy a fighter and kill a fighter by taking off them 2 pounds.
I thought that you making 140 pounds at this stage of the game, 24, 25 years old, 26 years old, I thought that was killing you. I thought you were dying at the weight there. You look skinny. You look
I was killing myself. I mean, I remember, you know, walking around at like a week of the fight, I used to be like 153. And I used to be like, how the hell am I going to get down to 140? I used to look at myself and I used to be all cut up and I used to be like, damn, I have to maybe chop a leg off or something to get down to that weight because I used to be so lean as well. But I managed it for a long time, and I think that was probably the worst thing I did, because towards the end of my career at 140, you know, I started getting into tough fights and, well, making them fights tough because I wasn't really strong enough, healthy enough. I was so weak going into the fight. So since I moved up to 147, I feel like a different man. You know, I feel like a different fighter. I feel so much stronger and, feel, you know, and I feel so much happier. That's the main thing.
Okay. Floyd Mayweather had a close call the first time around. I scored it a draw, 6 rounds even, but it was the most uneventful draw I've ever seen in my life, that first fight with Marcos Medina. Yet you handle Marcos Medina with ease, and Floyd Mayweather semi-struggled with him once and then semi-struggled with him the second time.
Styles make fights. You know, Floyd maybe has problems with guys who are just going to run at him and throw big looping shots. I mean, when I fought Medina was a little bit more quicker as well and a little bit more elusive, you know, because he had that movement. He was coming off a good winning streak, knocking out a lot of fighters and knocking out Victor Ortiz. So, you know, he was on a high.
Time out, Amir. When he knocked out Victor Ortiz, that was sort of like a punk ass move, though. I mean, he got him to drop. He dropped his hands up. Bam, boom.
That was a crazy fight, you know. That was. That's Mayweather. I'm talking about when Maidana knocked out. Victor Ortiz.
Oh, Victor Ortiz. Okay, Medina, yeah.
Yeah, because that then maybe I think it was a fight after that I fought Maidana. So Maidana was coming off a good win, you know, and he was a very tough opponent, tough operator. But look, I knew he was going to get Floyd problems. I mean, look, when you got a young, hungry fighter in front of you, regardless what his style's like, he's going to give you problems. I mean, that's why, like, you know, I've always said the fight between me and Floyd, I love that fight because I'm the young, hungry one. I'm the one who wants to, you know, go out there and, you know, take his all. And I have that hunger in me. And it seems to me that most of the other fighters in the past didn't really have that hunger, you know, like I've got the hunger. I mean, Maidana did, and Maidana nearly beat him the first time, you know, and caused him a lot of problems. But, I mean, I think the hunger that I have is something that no other fighter has. And I really believe that, you know, the problem that Floyd will have against me will be the speed. Look, fine, people can say, I mean, might not be able to take the best shot of Floyd, but Floyd's not the biggest puncher, so I can't see Floyd hurting me. I mean, the guys who have knocked me out have been very big punches, you know. They've been huge punches, and they've caught me with good, clean punches that probably would knock out any fighter who they hit like that. So you know, with Floyd, I think, with that fight, it'd be like a game of chess because, you know, you've got two fighters who are quick. I probably see myself quicker than Floyd, so Floyd never faced anyone quicker than him. But when it comes to throwing combinations, and one thing I want to say as well is, I'm never in a boring fight. You know, when it comes to fighting, you know, I give 100%. I'm not like most fighters when they go in there, sometimes they might get, you know, they might just slow down or they might just kind of quit before the fight starts because they think, oh, okay, I'm fighting a Floyd Mayweather or I'm fighting, you know, a big name. Sometimes they give up before they get in the ring. But with me, you know, I that kind of drives me and motivates me to, when I go in there, I've got a challenge in front of me. So it makes me work harder and train harder. And then when I go in the fight, it makes me push myself even harder, you know, to beat this guy. So, I mean, you'll never see Amir Khan in a boring fight regardless.
No, you sure won't. Amir, we're running up on a commercial break here. I'm going to keep you here for a few more minutes. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. That's okay. Cool, bro.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, iHeartRadio, of course, Sports Byline, and of course, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.